Welcome to Slice of Life. Because a bite was not enough, you've listened to Brenda's Bites for years, and now Brenda is expanding her show to include lifestyle happenings from around the region. Now here's your host, Brenda Alacy.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Slice of Life. Thank you, as always, for carving out some time for us on this Sunday, and I hope you're keeping warm after the weather turned so dramatically this past week. What a great week to go out and have some comfort food, though, with Local Restaurant Week. We're going to get into that. It's the last day to go out and indulge and enjoy yourself at more than 200 eateries that are locally owned, independently run. Time to break the chain, and you still have time today. Also on the show later, my good friend Bob Kaczynski will be with us. Bob has actually produced a movie on the War of the Worlds 50th anniversary, and he'll fill us in on all the good things. So we're talking about food and movies, two of my favorite things in life, and we're going to get to that in just a little while. But first up, welcoming back for her swan song appearance for this edition of Local Restaurant Week is my friend Krista Hobart. Good morning, Krista. Welcome.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here, even though I'm a little bit bigger than I was last week.
Well, you can afford to be, but I know you've been doing your due diligence and hitting a number of restaurants over this past 7 days.
Exactly. I try to go to as many as I can within reason. The first few years that I was helping with Local Restaurant Week, I ate the Local Restaurant Week meal at every place I went, and I learned the hard way that that might not be so wise by Sunday evening.
Yes.
But several times, once a day is plenty.
You have to eat.
Exactly.
Right?
You got to eat. You may as well eat somewhere, right?
My beloved late mother always used to say, "I have to eat," and I usually did. Also with us is Mike Tobin. Mike is the owner and founder of Fresh Catch Poke, which is a wonderful newer restaurant on Main Street in Williamsville. In fact, it's at 5933 Main Street in that wonderful complex where the Woodhouse Day Spa is, Lloyd, and Fresh Catch Poke. Mike, welcome. So glad to have you on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And now let's talk about what poke is. And is it pronounced poke? I've heard it poke. What do you think?
It's definitely pronounced poke. What it means is the literal meaning in Hawaiian is to cube raw fish. And what we've done is we've put our own, Western New York spin on it, where we're bringing in the fish out of Hawaii and out of Boston Fresh every other day. So we're cubing anything from ahi tuna to chicken. And, everything's served very fresh, lots of local vegetables.
It's a very adaptable kind of thing to eat, too, right? You can kind of mix and match whatever you like, whether it's a rice base or a salad base. What do people typically get, and are they becoming familiar with the concept of poke?
Yeah, when we first opened, I'd say, looking back, we were at about 80% were buying the bowls that we had pre-made for them. And now we're at about, the other way is 75% build your owns, where people are coming in and they're very comfortable with our menu and they're ordering anything from a rice base to a cauliflower base that goes after the people who are looking to cut carbs, for example.
Right, right. That's what I love about this. It's healthy and yet it's satisfying and delicious. It's not like you're sitting there trying to munch on a piece of watercress or something. This is really delicious food. I've had poke in other cities, but not at your place yet. I did walk in one day, but I ended up having to leave. But it's kind of the concept where you walk down the counter, right? And you direct the person as to what you'd like.
Yeah, it's similar to what you would expect at like a Chipotle,
right,
or one of those fast casuals. So we are a fast casual, but what we consider ourselves more of an elevated fast casual where, for example, the person that first takes your order works with you all the way down the line to when you're about to be cashed out. So you feel you're building a relationship with one of our poke pros, we call them.
I love that, a poke pro. You're the head pro then, right, Mike?
I'm trying to be.
Mike Tobin, the head pro of poke, Fresh Catch Poke. So do you think it makes a difference that you're talking to that same person down the line?
I do. I feel like we're, it's easy to keep passing someone down the line, and it's a very, artificial feeling where you don't know if you can trust what that person was giving you for the recommendations. This way, it's really building a rapport with our staff, so that when you come in and say, "Hey, remember last time you told me you liked this?" Yeah, I got
Nice.
That's what I teach my staff.
Yeah.
Is really to build a rapport with our customers.
And I think in Buffalo, people love that, don't you, Krista? I mean, you've lived in other cities. You're from
right.
Minneapolis.
Yep.
Did you feel that when you came to Buffalo?
I love Buffalo. It's very homey feeling, and everyone's friendly to each other, so that exactly goes with what you're trying to do. Yeah.
Oh, I think so. Now, the origins of poke are from Hawaii, as you mentioned, and we're quite a few miles from from the island.
Yeah.
Whatever made you open a poke restaurant in Buffalo, Mike?
I became enamored with this style of food. In my previous life, when I was in the corporate world, my territory was the West Coast, Mexico, and Asia.
So what did you do?
I was head of marketing for a manufacturing company.
Oh.
So I spent a lot of time overseas and on the West Coast, and this food was a way of life there. And it was very accessible. You could get seafood basically at any place you would go. I'd always come back to Buffalo, and we have unbelievable restaurants in Buffalo, but I felt the fast casual, more healthier style stuff was underserved.
Right.
And that was really it. I love seafood, and I believe it doesn't have to be $30 to eat healthy seafood.
And it doesn't have to be deep fried or doused in oil.
Right. We love our fish fries here.
Yes, yes. But there are other options. It's funny that you mentioned that because I was on a transatlantic cruise a few years ago and on another cruise last year around the Mediterranean. And there are a lot of Asian people who are on board. So they have this type of food available, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Did you notice that too? It's not just for dinner.
Absolutely. Many cultures eat rice for with their breakfast.
Right.
And that's one thing that it's been fun to open people's minds a little bit where, you know, for some reason years ago we got this negative look at rice, for example, you know, and someone, you know, did some articles on it. But we use like a jasmine rice, a whole grain rice. Mm-hmm. We use a bamboo rice, which is has antioxidants from the chlorophyll from bamboo. We use very good rice. So it's not your Uncle Ben's that you're used to from when
that's
younger.
For sure, right. That's for sure. It's funny because speaking of breakfast, I'm so eager to dive into what you brought today. And as you said at the top of the show, Mike, it's not just raw fish. For example, you brought in something today with chicken. You also brought in something with shrimp. What are some of the other options that you have?
We have anything from the fresh ahi tuna all the way to tofu, to our organic tofu. All of our sauces are vegan. About half of them are gluten-free. And our entire menu is gluten-free, actually. So we can really cater to basically anyone.
How do you source your ingredients?
The biggest thing with us is really knowing whether it's the fisherman or the farmer. And obviously it's difficult in upstate New York to do that. So we do have some limitations, but we always have that mentality going into something is knowing where the food came from, how it was grown, and you know, how it's prepared.
And Krista, over the years now, this is the 20th edition of Local Restaurant Week, 10 years, twice a year, obviously,
right.
The biannual event. Have you noticed that there is more interest and people are more cognizant of eating different types of diets over the past 10 years?
Yes, definitely. As a matter of fact, just the other day, somebody asked me if I could be specific with them and let them know which restaurants were gluten-free and which ones offered vegan. And not, on our website, you can search by vegetarian.
Right.
But we've been unable to get the restaurants to adhere to giving us the other menu items. You know, we can't guarantee the gluten-free and the other. But yeah, certainly people's tastes have become more sophisticated.
I think so too. People are much more discerning,
right.
I think, and there's so many more choices. But you know, some of the hot topics, the buzzwords you hear about are keto diets and of course gluten-free, low fat is always something of interest. Mike, do you cater to those types of folks who want those specific, you know, limits perhaps?
Yeah, absolutely. Anything from the keto diet, which is a low carb, high fat diet, to someone who is looking for extra protein or very low fat. All of our sauces are under 10 grams of fat, for example.
Wow.
So that's a big thing that we offer. And it's nice learning about all these new diets and our customers' dietary restrictions and being able to accommodate them.
That's terrific. And I notice you can, jazz it up a bit. You've got some wasabi peas on top of the shrimp. And so people can pick their toppings as well, right?
Oh, yeah. They work all the way down the line. They can choose everything. Everything's customizable.
What is Eat Real Certified, Mike? That's something that I noticed that you are certified as.
Yeah, it's a new governmental organization that basically what they do is they audit your invoices and look at how you've sourced anything from your protein to your rice to the types of drinks that you serve, for example. We only serve one drink out of about 20 that has added sugar to it, for example.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge thing with them. Everything that we serve from our sauces, we're not adding those fake fillers and processed ingredients to it. So that's what the certification is.
So you're not going to hit the wall at 3 o'clock in the afternoon if you had lunch at
No, you're not
going to
crash. It's fuel for you. It's well-balanced fuel.
I love it. And Chris, speaking of hitting the wall, you've been working so hard leading up to this week, and obviously this week has been hectic for you as well. But it must make you feel good to know there's a new restaurant that wanted to join Local Restaurant Week.
Well, it's something that we really don't have. I will say, of all the 221 restaurants that have participated this week, I think Fresh Catch is in a league of its own. And after hearing to Mike, I think that after all the eating I've done this week, I'll be there every day this week, cleaning up my diet a little
Absolutely.
Bit.
So. You can go low fat.
Right. I'm just going to run on over there, have my lunch, and run on home.
And run is the operative word,
exactly.
I think.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. How many people actually, or how many restaurants actually participated this year? What was your final number?
221.
Wow.
With 23 brand new ones who have never participated before, like Fresh Catch Poke. So, yeah.
That's terrific. And so far, I mean, there are so many great choices. And you know what blows my mind, too, Mike? Chris and I have talked about this in the past. There's not a lot of duplication anymore because it speaks to the diversity of choices in Western New York. And now Poke is in the mix as well.
Yeah, that's the only one for sure.
Yeah. Are you doing lunch and dinner?
We are. Yeah, we're offering a lunch special, two bowls for 2018. And then we're offering dinner specials as well.
Oh, that's great. So today people can still go out for lunch or dinner with it
right.
being Sunday.
And several places are offering brunch today,
yes.
too. So it's not too late, certainly not too late to get a Bloody Mary and have brunch.
It sounds good to me. Right after the show, we should do that.
Exactly.
Krista, what did you notice with the Snap and Share? I know that was a new thing. You try to incorporate something new every year. And
right.
let's face it, it's 20 times. So how do
right.
you reinvent the wheel? So what was this idea? Was it to take advantage of social media?
It was, exactly. And, you know, we all know with the name local restaurant, it's all about the food. But the other thing that we like to remind folks about, it's about sharing food with people and going out to eat and trying different places you haven't been to before. So what we thought was fun is if we did this Snap and Share where you share your photos on social media, what we really have been looking for all week is people out to eat, dining, having fun, and then featuring those people on billboards.
That's great.
So, yeah, just something kind of fun and different to talk about.
We've been taking pictures of our food for years.
Right, yeah.
So now
I don't look like the only crazy person standing on my chair pointing down.
It's part of my ritual, you know, put the napkin in my lap and get my camera out. So
yeah.
It's great. Mike, did you notice a lot of new faces coming into Fresh Catch?
Yeah, we've had the response has been great, and I think that's a testament to the marketing that Krista does with Local Restaurant Week to be able to really get the name out there. The news organizations were really help pushing, driving
right.
people to the restaurants, and really supporting local, which is obviously a big thing for all of us.
And that's what we like to do on this show, too, is shine a light on all the locals, and Local Restaurant Week is the epitome of that in my mind. So I wish you continued good luck with your restaurant, Mike. I hope to see you in other locations as well. And that's a big career switch, so I salute you for taking a chance.
Thank you. Thank
and Krista, thank you so much for the last several weeks with all the information and all the wonderful guests. I really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. You know, this is my most fun thing to come and do, besides eat, of course.
Of course. My kind of girl. We're going to switch gears and talk about a movie that's debuting at the end of the month with none other than the movie maker himself, Bob Kaczynski. Stay tuned, everybody.
Hear more.
Over the years, we hear less and less and less.
Hear more.
But it happens so slowly, we don't even notice what we're missing.
Hear more.
Wouldn't you really rather hear more and more and more?
Hear more with Aurora.
Hear more robins, hear more jokes, hear more guitars, news, business, friends, family. Get your comprehensive Hear More evaluation and consultation only from Aurora Audiology. No one has a more complete evaluation, more lifestyle-friendly technology, more caring, experienced specialists, or a more welcoming warranty. Hear more, do more, be more, live more. For your Hear More evaluation and consultation, call 652-6464.
Aurora Audiology. Hear more.
When you retire, you'll have plenty of time. But what if you no longer have health? A 2013 study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association shows we're living longer, but we're not living healthier. Come to Pachillo's. Every tool you need to whip your body into obedience is here. They'll work a lot better, though, if they're in your home. Good news. Delivery and setup on ellipticals and treadmills is free.
P-A-C-I-L-L-O. Pachillo's Fitness Gear. Gear up.
In the fitness equipment world, everybody charges for delivery and setup. We think that's lazy. At Pachillo's, delivery and setup is free on ellipticals and treadmills and a bunch of other stuff. And we mark our products up less, which you'll see is true when you compare our prices. And we carry severely durable equipment your workout won't threaten. So when you do crush it, your equipment won't surrender under your greatness. It may quiver, though, but that's to be expected.
P-A-C-I-L-L-O. Pachillo's Fitness Gear. Gear up.
Western New York attorneys seem to be focusing only on specific areas of law. So why are more people choosing Lotempio PC Law Group for their lifetime legal needs?
Complete attention, complete answers, complete counsel.
Frank Lotempio III of the Lotempio PC Law Group.
My father, Frank Lotempio Jr., started the Lotempio PC Law Group as a full-service law firm. His philosophy was simple: treat our clients like family, provide the best legal service possible, and to put our clients in a position to succeed and move on with their lives.
From DWI to criminal, personal injury, workers' comp, real estate, corporate, estate, and family law, Lotempio PC Law Group offers complete counsel for your lifetime legal needs.
Our law firm focuses on improving the lives of the people in our community. That means knowing the law in all areas. But it also means that we listen to our clients, answer their questions, and see their cases through to the very end.
For complete attention, complete answers, complete counsel, call 855-3761 or go to lotempiopc.com.
Lotempio PC Law Group.
Thanks for tuning in to Slice of Life. Now back to your hostess with the mostest, Brenda Alacy.
Welcome back to this edition of Slice of Life. As always, thank you to the K-Car driving us in the right direction week in and week out. Kevin Carr at Master Control. We couldn't do the show without him. Well, it's a pleasure to welcome Bob Kuczynski to Slice of Life. And I didn't bring my popcorn, but I should have, because Bob has produced a documentary film about a passion of his, War of the Worlds. It's the 50th anniversary celebration. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Brenda. It's great to be with you.
Nice to have you here. And I know that this fascination with the War of the Worlds started when you were just a young pup. And if I remember right, you were telling me you were 14 years old when you became enthralled with this idea of War of the Worlds.
Yes, I hate to admit that I was 14, because if anybody does the math, they know how old I am now. But in 1968, when Jeff Kay, who was the program director for WKBW Radio, which we are on right now, but
yes,
known now as WWKB, the call letters got changed in the 80s when the station got sold. WKBW Radio was the top dog in Buffalo radio. Top 40 format. They had the likes of Sandy Beach, Danny Nevereth, Tommy Shannon, Stan Roberts, a lot of people who are still here.
Truly legends of
yes.
the business.
And Jeff Kay was an extremely creative guy, and it was the 30th anniversary of Orson Welles' historic radio broadcast of War of the Worlds. So Jeff wanted to, as an homage to the Orson Welles broadcast, he wanted to redo the broadcast. Initially, he wanted to just take the script and have the KB players do it themselves, but he realized first that the script was copyrighted. He couldn't get it legally get a hold of it. Decided to write his own script. He was that talented. Quickly realized that the newsmen, Jim Fagan, Joe Downey, Irv Weinstein, they weren't actors. Actually, Irv was
right.
an actor on the side, but the rest of the fellas couldn't do their lines. So he changed the whole format, gave them an outline. These are the facts. This is how you enter. This is how you exit. These are the points I want you to report on. And it turned out to be magic. And that broadcast went on at 11 a.m. on Halloween night and scared the hell out of a lot of people and went down. It's known internationally as one of the greatest radio productions of all time. And it was done right here in Buffalo. So I heard it when I was 14. It was one of the reasons why I wanted to get into radio initially. In 1989, I had a chance when I was working at Channel 7 to do a six-minute feature on it, which gave me the ability to interview Jeff Kay, Irv Weinstein, Jim Fagan, some of the people who were involved, and get an oral history of how they did it. And since then, the legacy has really grown. So this being the 50th anniversary, I had done a documentary on it in 1998 when I was at Empire Sports. I kind of did it on the side. But now that I have my own business, All Services Western New York, I decided to jump into it full bore and just do a whole complete film.
Well, some of these people who are such icons have passed away, but you have audio from them and video for that matter, right? From
right.
back in the day. And then fortunately, you were able to interview people today who are still in the business. Sandy, as you mentioned, Dan Nevereth, and others. Bob, it had to be a tremendous labor of love for you to get this all pulled together and to get it ready for, obviously, you've got a tight deadline with it being
right.
Halloween.
It's been great fun. Actually, I had to, WNED-TV, public broadcasting station here in Buffalo, agreed to air the program on Halloween night at midnight, but they only can use a 28-minute format, so I literally had to cut it in half to get a version ready for television, and I'm still finishing up the completed 50-some-odd-minute, every day I think of something else
right.
that I should add into it, and luckily with digital editing now, you can take pieces away and put them in. Back in the day of tape editing, you would have been there forever.
Right, so. Right. So at least you can get this done. So we should emphasize, too, that on Halloween night, right here on ESPN 1520 WWKB, which is October 31st, the broadcast will air. That's got to be such a great feeling for you to know that it's airing here in Buffalo some 50 years later.
Tim Wenger and the folks here at Entercom have been fantastic. Tim has agreed to re-air the original 1968 broadcast, which has Sandy Beach as the opening disc jockey. They're going to air that on Halloween night at 6 o'clock and then run it immediately afterwards, which will be somewhere around 7:16. The production is about a minute, about an hour and 16 minutes long. So they're going to run it back-to-back. And then two other stations in town, I won't mention them, but two other stations are running their versions of War of the Worlds because everybody has kind of jumped on board to celebrate in honor of the WKBW anniversary, to celebrate this great H.G. Wells story.
Bob, what do you think made this so appealing to so many people?
Well, to me, it appealed to me on a couple different levels. First of all, as a 14-year-old kid, it was a great science fiction, you know, radio drama on Halloween night. I mean, it was right up my alley. Later on, I appreciated the craftsmanship of the production. I mean, Jeff Kay, Dan Kriegler was an engineer at KB. He did the directing. They had to mix, you know, everything was done back then with one channel reel-to-reel tape recording. What they pulled off is amazing. You know, if you listen to the Orson Welles broadcast today, it's very, very dated. I mean, just the sound quality, the sonics of the actual recording are not very good. The KB broadcast still today holds up extremely well. Now, there's some dated references, you know, dial telephones and things of that
right.
nature. But it's just the production that was put into it. And I think because people just, it's Halloween. People love to get scared on Halloween. Most people, not all people, but most people, they like a little chill. And I think this really served served it up. Not just because it was a great Halloween story, but it was a great science fiction story.
And it's truly timeless because look at how people jumped on board. So many people from all different walks of the media came together to celebrate this. It wasn't like, oh, Bob, go away. We don't care about this.
No. Well, that has happened, but not on this project.
I can understand.
You've told me that a couple times, too. Actually, it was great to see some of the broadcasters who've been around a while. They appreciate the accomplishment that
right.
this broadcast was. And it was great to see that people like Tim Wenger, Greg Reed, your
our
general
GM,
manager.
Right.
I won't say what he's doing in the piece, but he will be in the piece. Sandy Beach was fantastic. There's other broadcast. Danny Neverth, you know, we interviewed. Danny's a legend. Others, I won't get into some of the names. Some of them were for other radio stations.
Right.
But everybody kind of came on board.
But here's the common thread. I'm excited about this, too, reading this, and I can't wait to see the film. We all have a love of radio. I always call myself a radio geek. Having worked in TV with you, too, I love the broadcast medium. And I love print, too. But there's something about the immediacy and the way radio sort of reaches out and grabs you because you feel like it's a one-on-one experience almost. And I think about what Jeff Kay brought to the story back in the day, Bob. I mean, for him to have the foresight to say, we can't use actors, but we're going to use my staff and make it sound real. And he pulled it off. I met Jeff Kay when I interned at WBEN many, many years ago. he was the morning man and had a great voice and a great sense of history for what he was doing. And I remember him distinctly. He really brought a presence to the station. So there's something unique about Jeff Kay's story that I think nobody can duplicate. And it speaks to what's been happening with this War of the Worlds as well. What's happening at the North Park Theater? Because that's a big part of what you have been able to move forward with this project.
Well, the North Park, I've got to mention, Niagara County Community College is
yes.
the title sponsor, and they're doing a great job in helping me promote it and also helping me pay the bills.
Why do you think they wanted to get interested in this?
Because
it's a historic event, obviously.
Well, they also have a great digital media communications department,
right.
And Bob Borgatti, who's the head of that department, and Barbara DeSimone, the head of the PR there, felt that this would be a great project for their students to attend and also to be a part of, help promote their program. The Buffalo Niagara Film Office is my co-sponsor, and Tim Clark and Rich Wall out there at the film office jumped on board because they're promoting films. So the North Park Theater wanted to be a part of it. They're great benefactors of the film office. And so Ray Barker out there has, said you can show the documentary here. So it's going to be
great.
So cool.
Yeah.
On the 30th, 7 o'clock at night, we're going to have a little red carpet.
Can't wait to go.
It's going to be like a Hollywood premiere.
Yeah, yeah.
And tickets are only $10. I'll give you a discount.
Thank you, Bob.
Tickets are only $10.
Can you get me some popcorn, too?
Popcorn, no. Popcorn's expensive, Brenda. I was about to quote how much you're charging for popcorn, but I won't.
Yeah.
Popcorn's expensive.
You want to keep your spot in the
theater.
Don't
bring anything in the pockets of your coat. I've seen you do that before.
What's a burrito or two, Bob?
But the North Park is a fantastic theater.
It's a gorgeous theater.
And then afterwards, we're going to do a live panel discussion with Sandy and Danny and a couple other local radio broadcasters. So it's going to be a really fun night.
You know, and everybody knows there are a lot of people who hail from Buffalo who have made it big in the entertainment world, including Bill Fichtner, Nick Bakay. You have connections with these folks too, right?
Nick Bakay, who is the producer of Mom, the sitcom, very successful sitcom that runs on CBS, and also did King of Queens,
right,
which is one of my favorite shows. He's from Buffalo. He was a big fan of the Empire Sports Network.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
So Nick and I have kind of kept in contact. Nick weighed in. And Bill Fichtner, William Fichtner, you know, Bill, my buddy Bill, we did that 2 weeks ago. Bill Fichtner, to hear Bill Fichtner talk about WKBW radio growing up was a joy. He said when I went to college, I put on WKBW radio. I had to drive down to New York City, and I had it all the way down to the Queens Bridge. And he still remembers that. He was in a 66 Mustang. He also said that when he heard them say this is a dramatization of War of the Worlds, he kind of chickened out and tuned out. He was starting to scare him. But he is certainly followed up on the broadcast. And I wanted those fellows who have been great producers, directors in their own right on the biggest stage of the world to weigh in on this accomplishment, on this achievement.
Right.
And they were able to really, you know, wrap it up, put a bow on it as to how they felt this thing withstood the test of time.
What a great way to integrate all of these people, both nationally known and locally known. Now, Bob, we're a few days away from the premiere. How close are you to the final edit?
When people hear this show, it will have been completed.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So I'm in the final process of putting together a few finishing touches, some sound editing on it. I've also have to – one of the toughest things is going to be creating a credit list because a lot of people helped me out with
right.
this. I reached out. I even found a fella in 1974, WPRO in Providence did their version of War of the Worlds using KB's script. They got reprimanded by the FCC because they didn't do enough – disclaimers
really?
In the broadcast. Nobody has that broadcast. I was able to get my hands on it and include, you know, a piece of it in this documentary. So it's been, as you said, it's been a labor of love.
Oh, well, congratulations and
thank
kudos
you, Brenda.
To you. And I know you even designed the little logo
I got
here,
a little
too.
Logo. People can't see it. It's a little Martian war machine.
We'll put it on my Facebook page.
Well, you do that.
And I know somebody will give it one like. So, Bob, all kidding aside, we go way back. You know, I love you. You've done great work over the years. And congratulations for pulling
this
off.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
It's my pleasure. Well, that'll put a wrap on this edition of Slice of Life. Thanks for carving out some time for us yet again. And we'll see you next week. Go Bills.
Thanks for listening. Brenda will be back next Slice of Life Sunday at 10:30 on ESPN 1520.